Hey, Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks. Welcome to another Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve adoption in their community. Right now, the current Bitcoin price is $22,160. You could buy 4,514 sats per US dollar, and the current block height is 746,186. So right now, you can listen to Hard Money Hard Knocks on Fountain App, Podcasting 2.0, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and you can connect with us, Knoxville Bitcoin Network, at Bitcoin KBN. Also, you could use promo code Knoxville for the Bitbox O2 by Shift Crypto signing device. So check them out online. And like I said, use promo code Knoxville if you're interested. And today we're going to be having on Derek from Old City Bitcoiners down in St. Augustine, Florida, and Jacksonville Beach as well, correct?
That's right, yep.
All right. Welcome, Derek. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you doing this with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So why don't you just go ahead and give us a little introduction into your Bitcoin background, when you got into it, and kind of what attracts you to it.
Sure. I mean, so I guess I first got exposed to Bitcoin when I was in my master's degree at New Mexico Tech, and my roommate at the time, he actually saw that original Slashdot article, and I remember distinctly we were talking about it there for a little while, but unfortunately, I didn't really understand the importance of that thing at the time, so by the time I started really understanding what it was. It was after the Mt. Gox implosion. And so I kind of, right during that bear market where everything started going down to $200, that's where I started paying pretty close attention. And having the degree in computer science really helped me understand all of that. And kind of having a general understanding of the cryptography involved and but, you know, then I also grew up in a rather conservative home. And so, you know, we had kind of that political priming, if you will, to appreciate sound money and the scam that is the fiat monetary system that we live in today. And so I say at this point, that's my primary motivator is we need to rid the world of fiat because it is a scourge, as far as I'm concerned, on the earth.
Poison.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So yeah, that's it. I mean, I've lived in South Carolina for a while, and after the COVID nonsense, I decided to make a move down here to Florida, and they seemed like the place that is most primed to, I would say, defend liberty, and obviously with that is Bitcoin primarily, and so I moved down here, and because I didn't have any friends and, you know, I'm a nerd, I decided why not start a Bitcoin meetup. And fortunately, when I created the meetup on meetup.com, I had some existing individuals reach out to me and kind of pull me into an existing social group that historically, you know, the area has had a decent Bitcoin footprint for a while, because if you remember Laszlo, the Bitcoin pizza was purchased in Jacksonville, and you know, there's actually a few Bitcoiners in the area that are rather well known, and so yeah, I mean, we started the meetup and we've been going over a year now, and it's you know, it's really turning into something interesting. During that entire time, it's been a bear market, so you know who the true believers are during that time. And so I'm grateful to be in touch with these people who are extremely intelligent and technical and, you know, motivated, I think, in many of the same ways that I am.
Yeah. And you mentioned your computer science background. And one thing, I'm still very new to Bitcoin. I got in February of 21. And one thing I've noticed just through my experience with talking with other Bitcoiners is the people who seem to be getting early on were the people getting on with the nerd money. You know, a lot of people with computer science backgrounds and stuff seem to have been the ones getting in earlier on. And now bringing in a new aspect, like people like me, like just wanting freedom money and just realizing the scam that we're living in. Me personally, I had no idea of what the current monetary system we were living in was, you know, what it was about. I was completely clueless to the scam that we were living in. And then I lived in California before moving out to Knoxville, and living through COVID there just freaking woke me up. And, you know, they should regret COVID happening, because they woke up a lot of people like me to the scam we're living in. And the more people that realize the monetary scam that we're living in, just going to help Bitcoin adoption more and just bring on so many more new people. And one thing I'm pumped about, the meetup space. And that's really awesome that you guys have been doing this for so long. You know, a lot of meetups are starting this year. So thank you for doing Satoshi's work for behind the scenes for quite a while now.
Oh, you know, I'm doing it for purely, you know, egoistic purposes, right? I'm, you know, trying to meet people. I'm trying to network. But at the same time, looking at all of the craziness going on in the world, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you're on Twitter too, and you're watching all of this. It's almost like an existential crisis, right? It's almost, it really is Satoshi's work, or God's work, if you will, I think, in some ways, because we have got to fix things. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, the fundamental issue is just, we have a price system that is illogical. And how can you have rational economic planning when your numeraire or your medium of exchange is illogical? I mean, they print it and they give it to their cronies, and it circulates through the economy in unfair ways, and it hurts those who need it, who need money the most. Like, look at Panama right now. They're having, you know, these people, they use the US dollar, and so they're suffering all of the consequences that our central bankers inflict upon them. And, you know, it's just heart-wrenching. And, you know, the only way, in my view, to solve these problems, and unfortunately they can't be solved quickly, but, you know, the only way out of this is to switch your money. And hopefully that will, you know, result in, at least in the U.S., and I think, you know, abroad, it'll result in a haircut, if you will. I would call it more of a neutering of the nation state, because our governments are just way too large, and we need to see some political decentralization. And Bitcoin, in my view, is the only way to achieve that. I doubt it's going to be through the political means. You know, I have a lot of friends that are libertarian, and they're very much involved in libertarian party politics and so on. But you know, I shouldn't be so negative, I suppose, but, you know, I am critical of the political means, because they're playing a rigged game. And so my view is that we need to just stop playing in their economic game and start our own. And that's what Bitcoin represents, in my view.
Absolutely. And Bitcoiners are very critical in so many different, you know, in every direction you look, Bitcoiners are being critical of something, but they're very critical about dishonesty. You know, we just want honest, upfront information about what's going on in our lives around us. That way we're able to judge, you know, how to move forward with our lives. And that's the biggest thing that I see Bitcoiners being critiques of, is just the BS that's happening around us. You know, I love the clown world memes and stuff that are out there. But you started bringing up the political aspect of it. And I really started diving into politics when COVID happened, and just really like went down that rabbit hole. And after some time, I just kept thinking to myself, like, man, they keep sending this money everywhere. You're sending millions of dollars to Pakistan for transgender studies and stuff. And it just didn't make sense. And it was like, well, unless I have a ton of money or know people with a ton of money, like, how am I going to be able to make a difference in politics? And I was just like, I can't. Like, I'm just an average, everyday person. And then Bitcoin, my buddy Orange filled me with Bitcoin in the January 5th of 21. And it just made so much sense. And then we had the change of administrations in the White House, and everything started going more, and it just started clicking more and more. And the more that I started paying attention to politics, the more I realized that Bitcoin was the solution to it all. And, yeah, you know, I'm definitely I don't pay attention to as much anymore. I don't care as much. It's all just show theater now. And until we get some politicians who are true Bitcoiners trying to do good for the world, you know, it's just, they're all irrelevant in my eyes.
Well, you know, I don't know how you sit politically, but I'm very much an anarchist at this point, an anarcho-capitalist, and I kind of just view politicians as, you know, I don't really have a very high respect for them, frankly, because they use the coercive means to get their way. And I think anyone who's serious, you know, does not go into government in order to, you know, force their fellow human being to do things that they wouldn't normally do themselves. And essentially that's what government is force at the point of a gun, ultimately, if you don't comply. And that really, you know, that at the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned, now I should say these are my opinions, not the opinions of any of the people necessarily at the meetup, but at the end of the day, you know, Bitcoin, I think, is a mechanism or a tool to, you know, reduce the size and scope of the state. And I mean that from a federal level, from a state level in the U.S. or municipal level. And it'll lead to more of a anarchic society where most transactions are voluntary. And that's the thing with Bitcoin. You know, if you want someone's Bitcoin, you have got to provide them value at the end of the day, because you're not going to be able to steal it from them. They've got to give it over voluntarily. And so this will lead hopefully to a world where people are producing valuable things for their fellow human beings, rather than expropriating and funding their, you know, wars or whatever. All of these things are funded through expropriation, taxation, inflation, and humanity, we need to be done with it. So.
Couldn't agree more. I'm right along with you. I mean, pretty much took the words out of my mouth that I could say about that too. So, I want Bitcoin to do what it's going to do, you know, yesterday. However, to take a step back, zoom out, and realize what we're living through, how early on we're living through it, is also a really awesome thing that we'll be able to tell the generations behind us some really awesome stories, what it's like living through the Bitcoin revolution. So, you know, it's definitely want it to all be over, and I'm ready to start getting on with my life, because I feel the American dream is slowly slipping, you know, between my fingers like grains of sand. And it's just my pile of sand's getting smaller in my hand, and then the American dream is gone in my eyes. I'm engaged, trying to get going with the family and everything. And just, you know, it seems so hard, and just what a beautiful future my kids and grandkids could live in it on a Bitcoin standard.
Well, you know, Bitcoin represents the American dream, and as far as I'm concerned, the only way to achieve it in any practical sense, you know, the monetary system that we live under today, the fiat monetary system, it is designed to make the, you know, the poor and the middle class victims of the rich elite technocratic class. And not until we get rid of that are we going to actually see the American dream return to what I think the founders originally thought, which is, you know, basically allow people to pursue their own individual self-interest in the pursuit of their own happiness. Ultimately, that's what we're after. And, you know, the state is nothing but an impediment to that. So hopefully we can cut it down to size in the next decade or two.
The rate it's going, I think it will.
Yeah. So I think it'll definitely collapse under its own weight at this point. It's getting so top heavy that there's nothing that can happen that would allow it to continue to grow at this point. It's not scalable, as Nick Szabo might mention, not socially scalable. There must be a decentralization soon, hopefully.
It's a Jenga tower towards the end of the game. Just one more piece that could be pulled, and that could bring it all down with it.
Let's hope when that happens, and it may well be happening before our eyes, that we can all maintain our collective shit, you know? Yeah. That's my biggest worry is, you know, when all of this crumbles, you know, hopefully everyone around you will be able to maintain civility and get on with life and continue producing food and this and that. But, you know, and that's one reason I'm in Florida, and Texas was another potential place. Obviously, I want to be in an area where there's high rates of gun ownership and where Bitcoin is a part of the culture. And I think that's, you know, strategically speaking, the best, you know, strategy you can do as an individual to protect yourself from the encroachment of the state at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how true it is. I haven't done too much research into it, but like, you know, in Texas, I'm seeing things on Twitter about like trying to put in Bitcoin use in its Texas constitution or something.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter today. That would be great.
Yeah, time will tell, things like that. So there's always a lot of hype on them right away, and they seem to kind of fade out. But eventually, one of these days, something's going to stick on the wall.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, I think I probably should be a little moderating myself a little bit here, but you know, if you look at the Constitution, these are just words written on paper, right? And it's clear that the government is very far from that, from what is written as far as the rules. And so although I'm happy to hear that Texas is putting a statement in their Constitution, what ultimately matters is what we as individuals do, not what the state permits us to do. And so, you know, there's a lot of people out there like myself, you, I'm sure, that have already been stacking Bitcoin for a long time. You know, we don't follow what our overlords are trying to tell us to do. And in fact, we should be quite skeptical of things like laws passed by, you know, modern day governments especially. And so I'm not saying that you should break the law necessarily, but, you know, continue stacking regardless of what they say.
Yeah, very true. I'll second that. So it seems like me and you will be able to go down this rabbit hole for quite a while, and we'll have to do this talk another time. Right. Go ahead and start getting into the meetup, and which represent different ideas than what we were just talking about. And so why don't you mention that your meetup started about a year ago, correct?
Yeah, you know, I should have gone to look at the first date, but yeah, it's been just over a year, I would say. I can let you know in a minute.
And what's been your attendee count throughout that time, you know, from a year ago to now?
Yeah, so, you know, each meetup, we hold a meetup about every 2 weeks. And each meetup, it's funny how it works. Sometimes we'll have our dedicated four individuals that are pretty consistent about showing up. But some meetups we've had, gosh, as many as 25 or even up to 30 potentially. I might be overstating things, but I think 25 is probably a good upper limit. And yeah, so it just really depends on whether the price is up or, you know, whether there's a COVID strain going around and, you know, making everyone sick and not showing up. And the venue, of course, helps. People tend to like food more. And so I've tried to start being better about scheduling places that have food. And, but yeah, I would say on average, we have about 10 people, which I kind of like it because you can have more in-depth, discussions with people. And, I prefer it that way.
So. Yeah. You know, it's, I go into the Nashville meetup and you know, you've been there as well, obviously. And, it's just like, holy cow, there's so many people. Like, you know, I want to get around and talk to so many people. The smaller meetups are nice to get around and have some genuine conversations. And especially being a meetup organizer, you're able to meet more of the people coming and supporting your event that you're doing and be able to start building closer connections with them and finding ways to help their Bitcoin journey. And that's, I want to empower those around me as well. And I don't want our meetup to be, you know, the Shane and Connor meetup. I want it to be about other people. I want group discussions and stuff. And I'm not necessarily looking for a social time, you know, just hanging out. I want it to be an educational experience. So, yeah. Do you remember what the price was when you had like 25, 30 people?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't tell you it. I can't remember.
I was just curious if you did, but.
But I will give you an anecdote. I used to live in South Carolina in Greenville, and I ran a meetup down there in 2016 during that 2016 bull market up to 20,000. And I had like never really, I had maybe participated in a couple of Bitcoin meetups prior to that. But I did a presentation and the room was packed. There had to have been like 50 people there with no, like virtually no, you know, advertising or anything like that. They all just showed up. So that bull market really does have, you know, power to pull people out. And it's almost amazing to watch. But, you know, when that bear market rolls around, you know who the serious people are.
I, at our meetup, our venue that we have, it's downtown, and I put up these meetup signs just that I bought some orange construction paper kind of deal and just put Knoxville Bitcoin meetup and an arrow, and I was going outside to pick them up, and there's some people hanging out in the patio, and they're like, you guys are actually doing that down there? And I was like, yeah, we do it once a month. And like, even though the price is where it's at? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, that doesn't bug you guys. And I was like, no, it provides a great opportunity for us to buy more right now. And he's like, how many people are down there? And I was like, about 15 or so. He's like, wow, you guys are still doing this, even though the price is that bad. And I was just like, okay, well, you can come check us out sometime and start to learn more. So I'm very eager for the day that to see what kind of happens when a bull market does occur and start to see more popularity at these meetups. But now we're building a great foundation, getting a core group of people coming to the meetups. In the meantime, they're out spreading the word. And, you know, maybe with time and the price action, people will be like, oh, there is that meetup. We could go check that out finally kind of thing. Now that maybe Bitcoin's over 100,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the biggest things the meetup helps provide is just that networking opportunity. You know, my main objective is I want to live in a place that is hyper Bitcoinized, right? You know, I haven't been to San Salvador yet. I really want to go and see what that's like, but I just would love to be in an area where all the shops accept Bitcoin and where they keep it when they receive it rather than you know, sell it for dollars. And I realize that'll take some time, but you know, it's more about getting people together and getting that networking, those relationships in place so that if there is a, you know, an inversion or a monetary reset or, you know, if the shit hits the fan, so to speak, that there's an existing network of professionals out there and hobbyists and technical people that can be relied upon to, you know, help the community, if you will, to, you know, get on a new standard. And unfortunately, Bitcoin is not easy. You know, you do have to be technically oriented and, you know, you have to do your research and stay up on things and, you know, learn your privacy mechanisms and all of that stuff. And so, you know, the meetups are an excellent place to do that. We have, you know, we have a few individuals. One in particular that I'm thinking of is just like a technical wizard. And, you know, if you have a question, he can basically answer it. And having people like that around is extremely useful. Mm-hmm. Extremely useful. And, especially if you're doing more complex things like Lightning Network, channel management, multi-sig, things like that.
Yeah, and I was talking with the Nevada County Bitcoiners on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And like they mentioned, you know, it really, as a meetup organizer, throwing a meetup, it really makes you have a desire to increase your knowledge of Bitcoin, and it makes you need to like learn more. Essentially, it makes you kind of keep that drive to keep moving forward in your journey with Bitcoin. So that's a beautiful thing, is it keeps me wanting to learn more, because I don't want to go out there and sound stupid and lose attraction to the group. I want to put out, you know, have a group of guys who, oh, and hopefully eventually, you know, some females to talk to females. I know my fiance is starting to learn enough through listening to me and coming to our meetups. I got my other buddy, Connor, his fiance is starting to learn. So, you know, they'll chime in at the meetups. So, just really looking forward to the day where, you know, just, I'm ready to see bigger meetups. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I just love that Nashville environment. And especially because we're doing ours once a month. So you know, that once a month, it'd be cool to just have a monthly Bitcoin party, essentially.
Yeah, well, you know, and so, you know, historically, we've been kind of swapping between St. Augustine and Jacksonville Beach. But, you know, I've been kind of watching what other meetups are doing, like the Bay Area Bitcoiners, and I think you guys also, and you're creating like a network of meetups. And so that's what I'm hoping Old City Bitcoiners can eventually become. So actually, as of this last week, I did find someone who's a regular in the Jacksonville meetups, and they're going to take over the Jacksonville meetup, but still over under the banner of the Old City Bitcoiners. So yeah. I'll still be providing you know, technical support on the website and things like that, and helping with crowdfunding. And, you know, wherever we can share certain resources, we certainly will. The meetup.com group, which is indispensable for finding local people. And so, you know, that's kind of like my eventual goal, is kind of hopefully create a number, you know, a few meetups in the area that we can all have our own smaller independent meetup. That way locals can go to their independent meetup without having to drive an hour. And then work together on larger events, basically. So I would like to start bringing in more technical folks and get some presentations in the area for the more, you know, developer type community.
Yeah. And talking with the Bay Area guys, I know a guy, Eastside Tony. He runs like the San Jose group. And so I always thought he was the Bay Area Bitcoiner guy, but yeah, it was cool to see how that functionality works, you know, especially over in that area, you know, so many different bigger cities that you could have so many different meetups. So to watch these things sprout and be cool if you could have, you know, one meetup over there and all just under the same umbrella, essentially. And I just think meetups are going to be such a vital part of the Bitcoin space and a vital part of Bitcoin adoption. And to think we could be having many Bitcoin conferences going on all across the country one day, it's going to be really cool to have that connection throughout the year and not just have yearly get together.
Yeah, I think people are really underestimating the impact and the importance of the meetups. They're extremely important to share ideas and, you know, network with people and get that professional network in place. So I'm grateful to have, you know, have the opportunity to start one in the area, and I hope we can build it into something really cool and hopefully make this area a high Bitcoin accepting area is what I would like. Now, you know, it's funny because even people who join the meetup, they'll all have different opinions on that, right? It's a lot of them are like, no, it's you know, we shouldn't be pushing Bitcoin on people, or we shouldn't be trying to convince them necessarily. People need to come to Bitcoin in their own time. And I definitely understand that. But at the same time, when we get new people at a meetup, I do try to convince them that they should buy some, even if just a little bit, you know, just to get a taste for what it feels like to do a transaction or something like that. But, you know, it's way better just to kind of scale into Bitcoin. And I don't think there's really a huge problem with buying $20, you know, and starting with $20 and getting started with it. And so that's kind of my tact, but I can see the arguments from other people where, you know, you really should allow people to come to Bitcoin in your own time. And, you know, it is one of those things where you can lose it. So you need to understand the importance of, you know, a fully custodial, you know, non-bailoutable form of money. So,
yeah. Shoot, I was going to get going. I used to try to convince people to buy more, but now I try my best to provide enough information to convince people to go do their own research on it and learn for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the approach I try to learn, you know, because that's when the conviction happens, is not when somebody's telling you about it, but when you go in and do the research, read a book like The Bitcoin Standard or something, and that's when the orange pill really, you know, gets shoved up you and sinks in.
Yeah, you know, I think that is true for a lot of people. But for myself, and I remember this distinctly, the first time I did a Bitcoin transaction, that was, you know, it took me a while to compute the importance of it. But just seeing the, you know, the database update, the ledger update, was kind of a very impactful moment for me. And, you know, of course, I have the computer science background. And so, you know, it was just kind of foreign to me that you could do this without some kind of bank or central entity. And just a little more history on my background. I used to do cybersecurity and do like certification and accreditation and vulnerability assessments. And at one time in my life, I was working on payment card industry type certifications. And so this thing called Bitcoin that was just a protocol that didn't require any kind of payment infrastructure. Well, I shouldn't say payment infrastructure, but third-party custodian or third-party intermediary was very foreign to me, and it kind of hooked me. But you know, I do need to recognize everyone has a different set of, you know, background, and I think you're right, is to try to convince them to do their own research. But at the same time, if you can show them a lightning transaction, they might just like give them a little bit of awe and, you know, spark that curiosity as well.
Yeah. And as I bought, and I'm not recommending this at all. I originally bought on BlockFi for my first purchase. And then when I went to go withdraw that from BlockFi onto cold storage, I saw the issues with it, and I was like, wow, this is taking a few days. I'm having to get permission. I was like, this doesn't seem very peer-to-peer. You know, this doesn't seem like Bitcoin. So then I started asking more questions about it, and I realized I wasn't interacting with Bitcoin. I was doing it a very unsafe way, and that's, you know, and then, yeah, I got to see what the Lightning payment was, what the importance of getting that seed phrase and your recovery words and everything. And the more time that went on, the more I started realizing I was doing things wrong from the get-go. And that's a beautiful thing about the meetups too, is you could get that, you could get some really valuable information from the get-go if you are a newer person. What better place than to go a place more, you know, with some Bitcoin maxis who are very passionate about their research that they put into it, and you could go get your own conclusion from there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, at, you know, in our meetup, we definitely have some passionate people, and they will tell you exactly what they think about, you know, some third-party custodian lending service, for example. And so, like, if you were coming to our meetups, you probably would not have been depositing your money at a Celsius or a BlockFi if you had, you know, gone there, you know, and listened critically to a lot of the concerns that many of us had. You know, some of us have been in Bitcoin for a while, and we've seen all of the exchange failures and, you know, the altcoin implosions and this and that. And so, unfortunately, we're just continuing on with that cycle. And who knows if we have another round of that? Hopefully not, but we'll still be there and telling you that the risk is probably not worth it, and good luck to you.
So. Yes, absolutely. And then, so what have the age range for your meetup attendees, and what, you know, are you getting newer people occasionally, or is it mainly people with some experience?
Yeah, you know, we continually get new people. Every once in a while, we'll get some new people that become regulars. A lot of times we'll get people from, you know, maybe an hour or hour and a half away, and they can't make every single meetup, you know, but they do their best to come and learn when they can. And, but, you know, the St. Augustine meetup, which is what I'm going to be focusing on now, we do tend to get new people, you know, every meetup, I would say, maybe every other meetup, there's new people. And we love when they stop by, and especially the newbies that are asking the basic questions, you know, because I know personally, anyway, I like to try to hook them.
Yeah, so. I know. It was cool, too. One time, our first or second meetup, those signs that I put outside, somebody was walking by to go get ice cream with this lady, and then they came in a little bit later, like, yeah, we just saw this sign outside, so we decided to stop by. Unfortunately, he came out and started talking about NFTs and stuff, which, you know, we don't necessarily approve of. However, we can't be chasing him out with pitchforks and, you know, stuff either. So, because they could potentially be a great member of a group one day. And they've just been, in my opinion, and several of our guys, you know, led a wrong direction, like many people have. But I even saw a buddy from back home, Jesse, he posted like the where you could get lottery tickets, and you just got this like vending machine of lottery tickets. And, you know, talk about a shitcoin casino, and just you see people waste some money on those every day. It's like, if only you'd take that, you know, $5 to $10 and put that in Bitcoin each time you go and spend those, and just how better off people may be if they went that direction. But it's just so easy to get led down the wrong direction nowadays. And with, you know, on TV, when you look at the when they talk about Bitcoin on TV, on mainstream media, you see Bitcoin, you see Ethereum, you see Litecoin or Doge or something else, you know. So I love the chance to be able to, you know, have a strong, you know, a discussion about why I believe Bitcoin, and with somebody who has a different opinion, because that helps me gain more knowledge and a better understanding of it, and it helps me approach other people who have those opinions in the future as well.
Well, yeah, you know, and so I started the meetup and, you know, made sure right at the beginning that it was a Bitcoin only meetup. Now, I don't want to go around telling people what they can and can't talk about. So, you know, we have shitcoiners, forgive the term, but shitcoiners show up once in a while. And, you know, my only statement to them is that, listen, you obviously, you know, you can do what you want, but the people here, we're not going to let you off with, you know, certain things. In other words, we're going to be critical, and if you want, be prepared to debate it, you know. And we have had some, like, I guess a couple weeks ago, I wasn't able to make that one, but there was a Monero guy and there was heated discussion, and a lot of people actually really liked that meetup because of that. But I think people just need to understand that, you know, the members there, I don't want to say members, the participants who show up are typically very critical of the altcoins for various reasons. Me personally, it's more ethical and architectural from a, like a computer science perspective. That's usually how I attack those things. But from the ethical perspective, it's they're all just trying to print their own money. It's the same scam. And it's true with the NFTs, it's true with the ICOs, it's true with the non-fungible, well, I said NFTs, like the rare Pepes, for example, right? Those are NFTs. Yeah. And I just kind of view all that as extremely unethical. You know, Bitcoin exists now. We don't need to print money. We don't need to have some individuals benefit from seniorage anymore. That's what Bitcoin represents, is the end of seniorage. And, you know, so I'm doing it for hopefully what I view as the correct ethical reasons. And I definitely do try to steer everybody away from the shitcoins if I can. Now, having said that, I used to be a shitcoiner myself. I'm in recovery now. But we have discussed on our Discord maybe starting a Shitcoiners Anonymous channel that we can talk with people about that and some of the, you know, because it is a psychological thing. You know, you want to chase the rabbit and you want to try to earn quick profits. And a lot of people fall into that trap without realizing that it's full of risks. And a lot of those risks, unfortunately, are realized more often than not. So, you know, I just do my best to try to steer people away from that. But.
And a guy like you being in it for a while, you're able to be like, look, I went down that road, like learn from me now, you know. But unfortunately, my buddy Valor has it put in my head, you know, everybody gets the price they deserve. So, you know, if you're hell bent on going down the shitcoin hole, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not going to chase after you anymore. It just gives me an opportunity to get cheaper sats. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, that's exactly what we want in a free market, you know, is we want those who, with a high time preference that are focused on the here and now, to be divested. and all of the money, if possible, to accrue to those with a low time preference and more focus on building long-term projects and supporting the civilizational advance of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so it's as it should be, but it's just messy.
Yeah. And it'll be messy for a little bit longer. So, and then let's see more about the meetups. What are your goals moving forward with your meetup? You mentioned, you know, kind of spreading out a little bit more, having an umbrella over that general area with smaller meetups. But what else would you like to see happen with the St. Augustine and Jacksonville Beach area?
Yeah, so my focus moving forward, I'll be focused on just the St. Augustine meetup. And my goals personally is I want to have more diversity in the places that we meet at. And so I've gotten bad about, you know, choosing the same place every single time. I think a lot of people want to see a little variety and maybe, you know, go downtown more often. We've also had members mention that they want to see more like private events, like dinners. We did organize a dinner one time amongst the Bitcoiners, and we asked that everyone bring their spouse or loved one or whatever. And that was a good event. I think everyone liked it. And so I'll try to start organizing more of those. In addition to that, I don't know if you looked at the website. I'll be continuing to spend a lot of effort on the website. That is, I've worked very hard on that to try to make it like a really cool meetup website that individuals can use, or meetup organizers can use as a template, really, to monetize their meetup. And so if you look at the website, I announce each meetup on it. It's based on Ghost. And at the bottom of each meetup, there's a donate button where you can donate to a monthly crowdfund. And of course, that's all run with BTC Pay Server and all of that. So that's been kind of a fun little thing to show people at the meetup, like, hey, go to this website, and then show them a Lightning transaction. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's one of my focuses also, is the website. But, you know, other than kind of focusing more just on St. Augustine and providing more variety of meetups that people enjoy, working on the website and also the open source software. And that's just me individually, but I kind of view it, you know, a product of the meetup, really, because I've written some software basically that allows you to deploy a Bitcoin only website and manage it. So you can back up and migrate and restore and all of that. And so I've actually open sourced it already. There's still a lot of work for me to do before I call it version one, but I'm kind of going through the process of, you know, building up the Old City Bitcoiners website and also working on this project, which I've used to create the website. And so those are my primary focuses at the moment and moving forward.
That's really cool. Let's get into that, your project a little bit more. I mean, is there more you could kind of give us about what you're doing with it?
Yeah, so I call it Sovereign Stack. I, you know, on Twitter, it sounds like there's a couple other projects that have taken that name also, so I may have to change it. But I do have sovereign-stack.org. And unfortunately, the website needs a lot of work. I've been working on the code lately. But the eventual goal for this thing is, what I've done is I've set up a home network, a home or small office network that you can install in your home or small office, obviously. And it includes a firewall, a managed switch solution, and one or more compute devices. Okay. So those three things, if you buy them and you configure them according to the reference architecture that I plan to write and document on that website, you can have a very good wallet setup, basically. So whether you're at home or abroad on the internet, you can connect back to your home network using WireGuard, which, you know, most technically or privacy-minded people will probably want to stick with Tor. But performance-wise, your phone can just connect back to your home network and access your node, right? But in addition to that is the software I've created. And the software, you can deploy that against any Ubuntu machine. So let's say you have just a regular, let's say, Nook computer. You put Ubuntu on there. And then the software I've written basically will spin up a brand new virtual machine and put a bunch of software in that virtual machine. It's actually more than one virtual machine. It'll create more than one virtual machine. And at the end of the day, what you get is something like oldcitybitcoiners.info, which is a Bitcoin integrated or Bitcoin only website that uses BTC Pay server. And so the software will allow you to do backups and recovery, and you can do migrations of that data. And it is all meant to be self-hosted. So it's, at the moment, it does work with AWS, but don't go and start deploying any websites because I'm about to remove that functionality. But up until this point, I've been running everything on AWS, which is not the self-sovereign way to do things, right? And so the goal is to move that all into a virtual machine that's running on my own hardware, and, you know, doing it the sovereign way, on hardware you control. And so that's the goal. I have four websites now that I run using the software that I've written. One is my own website, farscapian.com, where I basically list all of the projects that I'm working on. And then there's the Old City Bitcoiners. And then I did a presentation for Old City Bitcoiners, you know, maybe 9 months ago. We created a meetup type called Sovereign Seminar, where we bring in a more technical hour or 2 hour long presentation. And so I introduced what I call Satoshi Spirits at that website or at that meetup. And that's just like an example bar or brewery website where you can order, you know, a drink from the bar and go pick it up and pay with Bitcoin, right? So the goal was, you know, I create this, maybe I send it to the bar and breweries and maybe someone will take me up on that. And then the last one is the website for Sovereign Stack itself, where I'm trying to do all of the documentation and I have the code up there also for you to download and review. And so the eventual goal with all of these websites is I'm trying to comply with the value for value model as outlined by, you know, Derigi, or however you pronounce his name, Derigi. And basically on the bottom of each web page, you'll see a little donation button. If you like the content, you can send me some Satoshis, and it's Lightning only. So I do not accept on-chain deposits. Everything is just Lightning, and I just switched the entire website to Satoshis only, and so we're getting rid of all of the US dollar shitcoin conversions, hopefully. And so, you know, I'm really happy with the way the website's turning out, and I hope it'll turn into a good use case for meetup organizers in general. I mean, you could apply this website to any kind of thing, like a political, if you're running for political office, or if you're running a bar or brewery, or I have other demo web apps that I plan to create later. And, you know, hopefully they'll be useful to the community at large, and especially the software. Now, having said all of this, I'm the only one who's written this software. And it's never undergone a formal security evaluation. So just keep these things in mind when you're evaluating it. But I do have a background in cybersecurity, if you will. And I've done what I think is reasonable measures to secure the thing. But if any of you decide you want to do a vulnerability assessment, please let me know if you find anything. Responsible disclosure is always appreciated.
You got it. That's really awesome that you're doing it. And just goes along with builders build and bear markets. And definitely, I haven't checked it out yet. So I'll definitely be looking into that and seeing what you got going on. So that's really awesome. What is your favorite aspect of Bitcoin? What rabbit hole finds you continually going down it?
God, you know, that's a pretty difficult question. I mean, I really do like the technical stuff and I do follow it. I'm no Bitcoin core developer, you know, but I do follow, you know, many of those technical aspects. And I you know, that's a really hard question. I'm not exactly sure. I think I always find myself excited about the political ramifications and the economic ramifications. So I'm more about the sound money than anything, I would say. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's just, you know, if you see everything going on around you, you have many people are probably grasping, like, how do we fix the state of the world? And, you know, in my view, Bitcoin is really the only thing that we can do. And so I'm just concentrating my efforts on that one area that I think will actually change things. And that's if people hold and transact in Bitcoin. You know, that's the basic thing. You have to hold it, you have to save in Bitcoin, and you have to transact in Bitcoin also. Now, I know at this moment in time, it doesn't always make sense to transact. Well, that's a nuanced argument, right? I mean, all costs are opportunity costs, right? So you can transact with Bitcoin today. You could buy that cup of coffee. The opportunity cost is sats foregone, basically. So you can just buy more sats after that purchase and you're good. It doesn't matter if you're using it transactionally.
Or you buy the sats right before you do that purchase.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. So, you know, I do try to encourage people to use like non-custodial Lightning type wallets and then just buy if they're going to use it for transactional purposes.
Yeah. And then just to kind of start wrapping things up here, what is it that, you know, in the Bitcoin space overall and in our world, you see, you know, like in Canada, the money being frozen. There's interesting things possibly going on in China with their banks. And so what is it in the world right now that's kind of got your eye?
Well, you know, the breakdown in the financial order, I think, is, you know, one of those obvious things that you have to point to. And, you know, I think in the next 3 years or so, Bitcoiners are going to just be vindicated with regard to things like rehypothecation and fractional reserve lending and all of these derivative products that are essentially forms of credit, unbacked credit or fiduciary media. And I think, you know, the libertarian chickens are going to come home to roost for the fiat system. And that's what I'm most excited to see, really, is the implosion of the existing unequal order or the unfair order, really. Having said that, you know, I fully expect that the fiat technocrats will blame Bitcoin for a lot of the ills. And in some ways, they would be right, you know, because Bitcoin is the escape hatch. And Bitcoin is going to lead to a situation in which all of the leverage in the existing financial system is exposed, finally. And, you know, all of the gold bugs, for example, they've been complaining about the market manipulation there forever. And so long as there's this fiduciary media or these claims to the underlying, that's going to be the case. There's always going to be a mechanism for market manipulation. And fortunately, with Bitcoin, we have an ultimate store of value now, which has very little cost to withdraw and self-custody. And so all that value, all of the monetary value in the world, in my view, is going to slowly leak into Bitcoin. And there will come a time when all of that leverage in the existing system is exposed. And, you know, can they just print more fiat money to cover it up? Maybe for a while, but I just don't see it lasting much longer. Who knows? Who knows how much it lasts? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Who knows? It feels like it's not going to last long, but then, you know, some time goes by and it's like, shoot, maybe it will. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure that stuff out. That's for sure.
It does seem remarkable that they've been able to kick the can this far. So I don't think they have much chance in the next 5 years of having another business cycle. You know, I think we're on the cusp of the collapse myself, but I've always been one of those, I don't want to say Alex Jones types, but, you know, I've always been, you know, the end is nay kind of guy. So, and, you know, it's taken longer than I expected. So.
Yeah, I know. who knows? Time will tell. It's going to be a beautiful thing when it does. I think, you know, with midterm elections and then the presidential election in 24, I don't know, man. I just think it's all going to happen in that time. You know, I think so much is going to go down before the 24 election that it's going to be nuts. You see people resigning all over the world. The Evergrande guy just resigned. You see in Sri Lanka, they're installing a new president there. The last one resigned and fled, basically.
Yeah, I heard the new guy's a WEF guy, a World Economic Forum guy. So
it's funny, you're seeing all these people resign and all these World Economic Forum people are being put in place. It's very fascinating. We installed them in their cabinets, you know, so.
Isn't it a remarkable thing that we actually live in a reality where we have like a Dr. Evil over there pulling strings? I mean, it's almost remarkable that we're living in an Austin Powers movie in a lot of ways, it seems like.
It's a clown world in full effect.
But, you know, these people, they do have a lot of power. So, I mean, but the only way, as far as I see, to defeat them is to bankrupt them. And that means switching money. Mm-hmm. And I realize that's a hard ask for a lot of people, but it is it's the fight for liberty. Sound money has always been part and parcel to the fight for liberty. And even Mises said that money is a mechanism to prevent the inroads of despotic governments. And it's up there with things like bills of right and constitutions. And so, you know, in some ways, I view what we're doing here as fighting for our liberty in the most essential kind of way. And that way is the ability to transact without coercion or force or fraud or taxation or inflation, all of these things that are detrimental and coercive to society.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I got for you today, Derek. I really appreciate you being on here doing this with me. Why don't you go ahead and just let everybody know one more time how to reach out to the Old City Bitcoiners and what you got going on there.
Sure. So as I mentioned, we have a website. It's oldcity-bitcoiners.info. And from there, you can read about every meetup that we're organizing. A lot of the posts are, a lot of the same content, but I put the date and location. We also use Nextcloud to provide a calendaring functionality. So you can actually, on your mobile phone, subscribe to our WebCal link. And so events will just automatically populate inside your calendar, which is pretty cool. And if you want to get in contact with us, I do respond to info@oldcity-bitcoiners.info. So you can email us. We're also on Twitter @oldcitybitcoin. And I've also started trying to post on Nostr, if that's how you pronounce it, Nostr. And I'm trying to do more stuff with that kind of censorship resistant protocol. Rather than rely on Twitter, because after all, Twitter is a third party, and third parties are security holes. So let's see. Other than that, we do have a Discord that we run. I forgot to mention, we have a monthly meetup we call Hangout and Hack, and this is a more technical meetup, and we just get together and work on various things. Last time, we set up a multi-sig wallet, and then the time before that, we worked with Lightning and stuff. So if you're technically minded or you need help with your node setup, please join us on the Discord. We do that once a month on Monday nights, I believe. So check out our calendar and we'd love to have you.
Right on. Well, Derek, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you for doing Satoshi's work. And I look forward to keeping up with you along the way and possibly seeing you again in Nashville one of these days.
Yeah, I definitely want to make another trip out there. There's a lot of meetups to hit and there's... I'll definitely be making a trip. I've got some friends up in that area, so.
Yep, right on. Well, I'll catch back up with you here in a sec.
All right, appreciate you.
All right, thanks, Derek.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Derek with Old City Bitcoiners. And once again, this is Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard in their community. Thank you for joining us. Next up will be Lincoln Land Bitcoiners on Tuesday. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for Eastside Tony in the YouTube comments. What's happening, my boy? Look forward to seeing you here in a little while. But other than that, you can listen on Fountain App, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Connect with us, Knoxville Bitcoin Network, on Twitter, Telegram, social, Truth Social. And that's all we got for today. Thank you. Keep stacking hard.